Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry is going to come and bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word from God. So you don't want to miss this Holy Ghost-filled woman on fire for the Lord. Tune in at 7 p.m. when Pastor Kathy will come and bless our hearts. Amen. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. So you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise God. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grow in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
might be in a place in your life where all you see is the color gray, and the future looks dark and dreary. It's just like a dark cloud came over the earth and covered the land with fog. But there's one thing I want you to know. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was good. Let me tell you about it. There were many times in my life when I felt like I was all by myself, and I needed an answer from the Lord. There were many times when I had nobody to turn to, but the Lord. So I decided to give him a try. I had to call on him.
Call on him.
Pleaded with the Lord to heal.
Call on him.
Down on my knees, I called on him. Hey.
Call on him.
All of a sudden, I heard a voice singing deep down inside. Trials and tribulations, and your heavy laden burden. Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You might feel like you're being tried, just trying to stand the test of time. But let me tell you one thing, the God I serve is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power of his riches and glory that work in us. All you have to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Come on, let's pray about it. All you gotta do is call on him.
Call on him.
Sometimes you gotta call on him. Hey!
Call on him.
Please.
hear your cry.
Call on him.
You gotta call him and hear his voice speaking way deep down inside. He's saying,
God, it will be all right. Dear Lord, I will guard my heart against the evil, the temptations, and the distractions of this world. I will focus instead upon your love, your blessings, and your Son. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. In the meantime, I will play another selection at 7 p.m. Our very own Associate Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry is going to come and bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word from God. So you don't want to miss this Holy Ghost-filled woman on fire for the Lord. Tune in at 7 p.m. when Pastor Kathy will bless our hearts. Again, you can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. And I'm sure there's someone out there that has something that they want to thank God for what he has done in their lives. Amen? Praise God. In the meantime, I will play another selection. Following this selection, I will come back with our daily devotion. Praise God.
I want you to put your mind and your focus on the Spirit of God. Is
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Messiah.
Your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground. Bow down, don't make a sound. Hear the voice of Yahweh.
When you're in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah.
So awesome.
He's a sovereign God.
So wonderful.
He's a sovereign God.
So powerful.
He's a sovereign God. A sovereign God. A sovereign God.
So glorious.
He's a sovereign God.
So righteous.
He's a sovereign God.
Victorious.
He's a sovereign God. A sovereign God. A sovereign God.
Worship at his holy mountain, for he's a jealous God. Bow down to the great I am, for he's a holy God.
Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah.
So awesome.
He's a sovereign God.
So wonderful.
He's a sovereign God.
All powerful.
He's a sovereign God. A sovereign God. A sovereign God.
So glorious.
He's a sovereign God.
So righteous.
He's a sovereign God.
Victorious.
Praise be to God, everybody. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Approach This Day with Awareness of Who is Boss. Amen. My scripture reading for this devotional message is coming from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 9 through 11. And it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Amen. Praise God. My second scripture reading is coming from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title, Approach This Day with Awareness of Who is Boss. As you make plans for the day, remember that it is I who orchestrate the events of your life. On days when things go smoothly according to your plans, you may be unaware of my sovereign presence. On days when your plans are thwarted, be on the lookout for me. I may be doing something important in your life, something quite different from what you expect. It is essential at such times to stay in communication with me, accepting my way as better than yours. Don't try to figure out what is happening. Simply trust me and thank me in advance for the good that will come out of it all. I know the plans I have for you, and they are good. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it was to me. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you search my heart and know me far better than I know myself. May I be your worthy servant, and may I live according to your commandments. Let me be a woman of integrity, Lord, and let my words and deeds be a testimony to you today and always. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir. You have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Here we go, y'all.
Faith.
Faith. practice. Yeah, write a book, score a film. Somebody's going to walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it's children.
It's yours. It's yours. It's your inheritance.
Wave your hand because you know you're going to go get it.
Praise be to God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening, which is entitled Love of Learning. Praise be to God. And our scripture reading is coming from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And it says, the purpose of Proverbs. Now, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insight of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Then those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Praise God. So may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. The text for this message is coming from Proverbs 1 and 5, and it says, let the wise listen and add to their learning. Praise God. The writer says, when asked how he became a journalist, a man shared the story of his mother's dedication to his pursuit of education. While traveling on the subway, each day she collected newspapers left behind on seats and gave them to him. While he especially enjoyed reading about sports, the paper also introduced him to knowledge about the world, which ultimately opened his mind to a vast range of interests. Children are wired with natural curiosity and a love for learning, so introducing them to the scripture at an early age is of great value. They become intrigued by God's extraordinary promises and exciting stories of biblical heroes. As their knowledge deepens, they can begin to comprehend the consequences of sin, their need of repentance, and the joy found in trusting God. The first chapter of Proverbs, for instance, is a great introduction to the benefits of wisdom, Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. Nuggets of wisdom found here shine a light of understanding on real life situations. Developing a love of learning, especially about spiritual truths, help us to grow stronger in our faith. And those who have walked in faith for decades can continue to pursue knowledge of God throughout their life. Proverbs 1 and 5 advises, let the wise listen and add to their learning. God will never stop teaching us if we're willing to open our heart and mind to his guidance and instructions. Amen. Praise be to God. Question, what fresh truth of scripture have you added to your knowledge recently? And how can you continually pursue a deeper understanding of God's truth? Think about those two questions. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father, please continue to open our mind and heart to grow in knowledge and wisdom as we read from the scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that continues our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. So at this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen. Praise God.
gotta sing. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You gonna break out your craft. Break out your word. You gonna break out the praise. Last time. When somebody clap your hands, this a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got, that's all you got.
Praise be to God, and that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. So while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play this selection.
I don't know when, I don't know when, I don't know how, but my God will deliver me. I don't know when, I don't know when, I don't know how, but my God will deliver me. Lord, I have no other hope but you. 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 When the dawn comes and there's no light in, and I'm feeling lost, I know you can deliver me. Even if my heart breaks and my back's against the wall and there's no one here, even then you can deliver me. Cause Lord, I have no other hope but you. I have no other hope but you. I have no other hope but you. I have no other hope but you.
Our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Music Ministry. Excuse me. Oh, that song just tears me up every time I hear
it. I'm telling you. Yes, it does.
So at this time, Pastor Kathy is going to come and bring us a mighty word from the Lord this evening, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Get my bearings. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How are you this evening?
God bless you, dear heart. Doing awesome. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Can't hear you, Pastor Kathy.
You can't hear me at all?
Oh, now I can.
Okay, you can hear me good?
You got to speak a little louder.
Okay, I see what happened. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I had the earphones turned down. But you can hear me good now, right?
Yes.
Oh, bless the Lord. I had found some of my new headsets, and Pastor Stephen hooked them up for me. And he said, I don't know why you got all these headsets and you're not using any. And so we found one. And hopefully this one is working. The other ones were going crazy on me for a while there. But we thank God. We thank God for another Thursday. I'm telling you, I don't even know why I asked for that song, because it starts tearing up my heart as well.
Exactly.
Good God.
Wow.
It's just one of those songs.
Oh, my goodness. I started listening, and it was like, why did she request it?
You just never know what God is doing and why he's doing it, but I don't know why I had to hear that song, but I thank God for today. Today is Thursday. It's an awesome day. Oh, my goodness. Seems like we just came into the new year. Now we're 20 days in.
Yes.
But we know that God is up to something, and I know that we hear that all the time. We hear that phrase all the time. But this is real. This is real because I see what he's doing. I really do.
Amen.
I'm going to go ahead and pray and get into this word because it is good. Goodness is good. So
can you turn your earphones up a little louder?
Oh, yeah, I can. You can't hear me again?
Because you're going in and out.
Okay, how about now?
Okay, better.
Okay, thanks for letting me know, because I sure don't want to get all into it and then find out nobody heard me. So thank you for that.
Amen.
Okay, now I think I got it straight now.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Precious.
Mm.
Okay, thank you. Precious and Heavenly Father, want to say thank you, oh God. Thank you for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do, oh God. You saw fit to allow us to see another day. And for that, we say thank you. We honor you. We glorify your holy name, oh God. We lift you up high above the earth. My goodness, you have been so good to us, better than we deserve. But we are grateful. We are so forever grateful for all that you do, oh God. And even right now, I am grateful just that you saw fit to allow me to come forth with your word, oh God. Not my word, but your word, oh God. And I pray that your word does not fall on deaf ears. Someone is going to hear this word and they're going to be blessed. Someone is going to hear, they're going to be lifted up. All are going to be encouraged, and you and only you will get the glory. We thank you, oh God, for all that you have already done and all that you're going to do. We pray that your word goes forth in a manner that is pleasing unto you. Have your way right now. We ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I get to rushing, and sometimes I forget about some things, and then I got the Holy Ghost jumping in going, well, don't forget to say. So, I have to give honor where honor is due, because that's God's way. We honor the visionary of the line, Apostle R.D. Wiggins. We thank God for him. We thank God for the assistant pastor and the host, Evangelist Hilda. We bless God for this awesome woman of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for never throwing in the towel. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting on the sidelines and seeing all the stuff you go through, and I'm going, who knows, she really love you, because she ain't throwing the towel in yet. She's chucking along.
Amen.
So we thank God for you,
thank you.
Evangelist Hilda. We thank God for our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. Always got to honor this awesome woman of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether she's on the line or she's in another part of the vineyard, we know that she's still with us in the spirit.
Amen.
You know, and we bless God for everything that he's doing in her life right now. Thank God that he has, you know, given her the desires of her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that, you know what? The word of God says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they get older, they're not going to steer away from it. So no matter which way all of us go, because our parents have trained us up,
yes,
we know that before long we're going to drift right on back on home. So we thank God for all of us.
Yes, Lord.
We thank God for all of our listeners. But most importantly, I have to thank God for the love of my life, Pastor Stephen DuBose, who is the senior pastor for Led by God Christian Ministries.
Amen.
And I am the co-pastor of Led by God Christian Ministry. I thank God for Pastor Stephen, because right about now, I know he look at me like, what is she doing? But I'm telling you, me and my body and my mind, we've been going all kind of places. But I thank God for having the man of God on my side and just supporting me and being there for me. We
Amen.
Bless God for him
Amen.
And all that God is doing with him to free him up, to
yes.
get him back in place. So we thank God for that.
Praise God.
And thank God for all of the listeners. If you on the radio or if you on the internet, however you are under the sound of my voice, I pray that you will hear everything God intends for you to hear, and you will get exactly what you need to get out of this word tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. God bless you all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. We are, oh my goodness, glory to God. We are coming from Nehemiah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're coming from Nehemiah, and we're going to be coming from chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. You know, I looked on the computer last night because I was trying to give somebody something, and
mm-hmm.
I saw a couple of messages, and I said, that ain't what I'm trying to tell her, and I went to something else. And every time I turned to get something to tell the young lady, Nehemiah kept popping up. And I said, ooh, okay, wonder what that's about. But you know me, I closed the book, closed up the computer, and kept on going.
Mm-hmm.
Went downstairs, started watching TV with Pastor Stephen, and I was trying to stick some papers inside his healing Bible. And when I opened up the healing Bible to throw the papers in there, it opened up to Nehemiah.
Mm-hmm.
So what did I do? I got up this one. I said, well, Lord, because that's all I could hear. I said, Lord, take me where you want me to go in Nehemiah. So here we go. Nehemiah 1,
mm-hmm.
chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. Yes, Lord, have your way, Father. Oh, Lord, I know in this they got a whole bunch of names.
Oh,
here
yeah.
we go.
Hanani,
one of my brothers, arrived with men from Judah. So I questioned him about the remnant of the, oh God, you got to love Nehemiah's heart. I questioned him about the remnant of the Jews who survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. And they told me the remnant who survived the exile are in the province in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Then I said, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. My computer shut off. said. Then I said, oh, Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of loving devotion with those who love him and keep his commandments. Verse 6, let your eyes be open and your ears attentive to hear the prayer that I, your servant, now pray before you day and night for your servants, the Israelites. I confess the sins that we, Israelites, have committed against you. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have behaved corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, or ordinances that you have given us, that you gave your servant Moses. Remember, I pray the word that you commanded your servant Moses when you said, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep and practice my commandments, then even if your exiles have been banished to the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people. You redeemed them by your great power and mighty hand. O Lord, may your ear be attentive to my prayer and to the prayers of your servants who delight to revere your name. Give reverence to your name. Give your servant success this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Oh, my goodness. May the Lord continue to add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his word. Amen.
Amen.
The title of this message is Burden to Rebuild. I'm so grateful to God. You know, first of all, we need to understand what happens when a man or woman of God says that they're burdened to do anything for God. That means that God has pressed it in their spirit so much. That's all they can think of. It's that thing that God has them in turmoil over. I mean, you can't sleep. You can't think about anything else. You've got to do whatever it is God is pressing in your spirit to get done. That's a burden. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't push it aside because it keeps showing up. You are burdened over it. You are burdened. I mean, it's weighing you down until you see that thing come to fruition. And so we see what was going on with Nehemiah. You know what? If you look in the commentaries and you go back in your Bibles, Nehemiah was born in Babylon. And he was over there in Persian. Yeah, he wasn't with the rest of the Israelites, right? He's never, ever, if you look in the context, he's never, ever been to Jerusalem. But he knew that, oh, my goodness, glory to God, he knew that was the Holy Land, right? He knew that's where you're going to find God's mighty hand in Jerusalem. And not only that, he had some of his folks was over there, right? So his folks, Nehemiah was over Persian. Let me see where the word is. Yeah. He was being a cupbearer to the king.
Yes.
Right? He was a cupbearer to the king. And so what it says was that his brother and some others came back from Jerusalem. And when he saw them, he was like, how's everything going back there? And they told him, you know, it's not good. It's not good. The remnant, the ones that survived the exile, they're really going through.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The wall of Jerusalem is down, you know, and they were just telling him everything that was going wrong in Jerusalem. Now, like I told you, Nehemiah had never been to Jerusalem. He'd never been there. Can you imagine having a burden for a place you've never been, never seen? Come on now. All you know is this is considered a holy place for God. And because of that, if you look up what Nehemiah was doing, Nehemiah was like Daniel. And I kept reading all over the place. Nehemiah was like that. He was constantly praying for God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it. You got to love it. He was constantly praying for God's people. Nehemiah wasn't praying for himself. He wasn't praying for his needs because it says that he was in Babylon. He was in exile all most of his life, right?
Yep.
So he was separated from the rest of his people. But he continued to pray for the people. This is, it's so much goodness in this. This, oh, my goodness. Nehemiah was praying for the people like Daniel was praying. And no matter what was said or what got done, Nehemiah continued to pray. And if you look back at some of the things that Daniel was saying, the commentary tells us that Daniel prophesied what Nehemiah was going to do. He said that there was going to be a rebuilding taking place in Jerusalem.
Yes.
My goodness, good God. Mm. And Nehemiah was on the other end on his side, just praying and praying and praying. And he was praying for God's people. And I love it because I think I can only imagine that this is why God has given it to me. This is one of the reasons. Because while you got people praying, and God sitting there listening to the prayers, sometimes we forget to pray for the other, right? Because
yes.
we think we're not doing good because we got a Ford instead of a Cadillac, or we got a 3-bedroom house instead of a 5-bedroom house. So we think we're not doing so good. Come on now. You got people that don't have anything, and
Amen.
They need our prayers.
That's
they
right.
need us to get back to doing what we're supposed to do, being the church. We're God's representatives down here. We are supposed to pray for the goodness in this earth.
That's right.
If you look around, and I don't know how many of you have, but if you look around, it looks like there's a lot of ruin. If you look around and you go, oh, my God, it's so much destruction.
Yes.
Come on, so much going yes. on right now. So much sadness, so much depression. Everybody stressed out, this, that. Oh, it's so much going on.
Absolutely.
And to this day, I'm still looking around going, okay, Lord, I would like to have my lips back now. And he's going, Jesus, she ain't learned nothing yet. You will not get those lips until you learn the lesson that I'm trying to teach you. And I go, I thought I learned. I thought I did what I was. No, no. Mm-mm. Not yet. Because here's the thing. You do know that when Satan went after Job didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
God just thought, well, you can handle this. When he went after Peter. What did Jesus say? Peter, you're going to be all right. Don't sweat it. I prayed for you.
Yes.
But when you get back, because you won't leave for a second, but when you get back, it'll be okay. Just use your story and strengthen the others. So
Amen.
God has prepared us that
yes.
there are times when you haven't done anything wrong, but I've got to use you.
That's right.
Right? I got to let Satan... I've got to just move my hands just enough for him to do just a little bit of damage to cause some alarm in your life so that you would have to look at me and say, okay, what's going on? Well, this time I said, oh, that's what it is? And guess what? He said, no. I said, sometimes that's what happens. I
yes.
let Satan get in there and mess with you so you would have to come and seek my face so I can give you clear instructions on what you're supposed to be doing. Not what you want to do, but what you're supposed to be doing. And so I said, is that what's going on? He said, no, I ain't tell you that was going on. I said, sometimes that goes on. This is not one of those times, Kathy. I was like,
okay.
Ooh, okay. All right. So it's not Satan.
And here's the mistake we make. Sometimes we think that when something bad is happening to us, it's Satan. We automatically put it on Satan. Satan mm-hmm. is just busy. He's doing that. And God is sitting there going, when Satan get bigger than me?
Okay.
Satan can't do anything that I don't let him do. And right now, this is not Satan. It just so happens to be me.
Okay.
Because think about it. Paul said, you think you can remove this thorn from my side? He said, no, my grace is sufficient.
That's it.
So these, you know, you got to recognize these times when you just got to say God's grace is sufficient. And what that means is, as long as I know that my God is still with me, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to be all right.
Amen.
As long as I know he has not left my side just because mm-hmm. I'm going through, I can still see that he's with me. And telling you, I can still see that he's with me. And so that is sufficient.
Come on now.
That's all you need when you're going through it. You can still see God's hand on you. Go on through.
Yes.
You are not alone.
Amen.
And so you got Nehemiah over here in the king's palace minding his own business. I'm looking at the cartoons on Nehemiah because sometimes I get to that place, I got to see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned to the cartoons because believe it or not, the cartoons show me a lot of stuff. So I turned to the cartoon, and you could see Nehemiah in the palace minding his own business. And then the servants come in there, and the king says, what do you need? He says, sir, we have not come to seek your face today. We want Nehemiah. And, they, you know, the king, he was okay with Nehemiah. He said, go ahead, Nehemiah, they need you.
Mm-hmm.
Nehemiah goes outside, and they tell him what's going on with Jerusalem. And when they finish telling Nehemiah what was happening with Jerusalem, it says that Nehemiah sat down and began to weep.
Yes.
He mourned for days. He was fasting and praying to God. Wow.
Mm.
You know what? I pray that you guys can hear me as I pray that I can hear myself in the spirit realm. Nehemiah heard the condition of the church. Right, God's chosen people, the Israelites in Jerusalem, and the fact that the wall was down. The wall being down meant that God's people were exposed to the enemy. Because now you got nothing to protect them to keep the enemy out.
That's right.
And you got nothing to keep your peace within.
There you go.
You got no protection whatsoever. And so when he heard that, wow, the wall is down, you know what? I can only imagine that for us, if you say the walls are down in this country, that means we had no president, we had no police, we had no fire department. You know, we don't have any of that protection. We don't have any of that security. We got no peace of mind when we go to bed at night because just think about it. You got no president. You got no cops. You got no fire department. If a fire breaks out in your house, who's coming to let it out? Nobody. Because you don't have a fire department. If thieves are running up and down your block, running into every house, taking what they want, who are you going to call? Nobody, because you got no police. So that's what it was like for Jerusalem to have the walls down. They had no sense of security, no protection whatsoever from the enemy. Right? And the wall being down was also a sign to everyone that God was no longer helping them. And if the people could see that God is not helping them, can you imagine what the enemies were thinking? Oh, we're going to go in there and do some damage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I love it because even though Nehemiah had never been to Jerusalem, never been there. He just knew it was the Holy Land. But guess what? While he was sitting in the palace, there with the king, just eating, you know, safety or whatever, he was thinking about Jerusalem. I'm telling you, God is saying, I need my people to get back to thinking about the church. I need y'all to understand, if you look around and you see false prophets walking around, because guess what? Nehemiah said when he heard these things, and for us, these things is false teachings, the church is no longer being authentic. You know, all of these things shows God's house in ruins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you understand Jerusalem at that time was God's house.
Yes.
And now we look around and we see everything that's going on in the church. Well, that's God's house. That's where he dwells with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's looking at it and he's going, you mean to tell me nobody's bothered by what they see? Nobody is burdened to say it's time for a revival. We have got to clean house. We've got to get rid of this mess that has bombarded itself into the house of God. I'm telling you, there's so much going on in the house of God right now. You cannot tell when you go in there, and I don't mean everywhere, but there are certain places you can go, you can't see the authenticity of God's love, of the people giving reverence to God and loving on. When do we start eating and drinking in the sanctuary? Come on now. We get in the sanctuary, we talking about everything but God.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, that's what the parking lot's for. Because there's some people in the house of God that they give reverence for being in the sanctuary.
Yes.
Come on now. And Nehemiah was saying, I can't let this go on. What can I do? The very thing he did as soon as he heard that these things were going on, Nehemiah got down on his knee. He sat down and he began to pray.
Amen. Yes,
and he was asking God for his help, for his guidance.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? And this is the part that I love. When he first came to God, guess what he was doing? He was lifting God up. Oh, you mighty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, he goes before the Lord, and he sits there and he's praying. He said, Lord, you are awesome. You're mighty. He's saying all these things to God. Why? Because I need to get your attention. Oh, Lord God of the heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of loving devotion with those who love you and keep your commandments. And the next thing I love, guess what he does? Nehemiah says, I have to tell you that we have sinned against you. He didn't say the Israelites have been sinning against you, so I understand why you let the wall go down. No, he said we, all of us, including me, said me and my father's house, all of us have not been keeping your commandments, your statutes. We have done this thing against you. He took ownership of part of what was going wrong. Yeah. That's like we said, Lord, just forget it, church. I don't know what they're doing. Oh, Lord, have mercy on them. And just forgetting that I'm one of them. I've done some things that wasn't pleasing in his sight, but I want to just say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Just help them out. No, Lord, forgive all of us. We all have fallen short. And right about now, we have got to get back to our Father's business.
Amen.
Right? God is saying, everybody's saying what the new year is going to do, what the new year is going to bring, and we're forgetting about God. When Jesus was getting ready to go to that cross and Mary ran up to him and she poured her perfume on him and she's wiping his feet and they wanted her to stop because the perfume was so expensive. And he said, wait a minute, she's doing what's best in his eyes. Because you got to understand, even though he was going to the cross for us, right? He was going to the cross for us. You got to understand, he was in the body of a man. And
right.
A man that's getting ready to get on a cross, you got to be hurting on the inside. You're not in deity right now. You're in flesh. So the flesh was feeling some kind of way. So quite naturally, when Mary goes and she pours the alabaster box on him and she's wiping her tears and, you know, on his feet,
He had to feel good about that. How dare you stop someone from worshiping God? Yeah, even though we need God and there's things that the church stands in need of right now, it is more important for us to start loving on him. Because guess what? He already knows what we need. That's not the first thing you want to go to him with in prayer. Nehemiah went loving on him. He said, you're awesome. You are the God of heaven. He was lifting him up. And then he looked at him, he said, but please, give ear to hear what I am saying to you, what your servant is saying, you know. And he even admitted, yeah, we're sinning. We've done some things we had no business doing. We have not kept your commandments. And look, verse 8, he says, but remember. Now, this is funny. He says, remember, I pray that you commanded your servant Moses when you said, if we are unfaithful, you're going to scatter us amongst the nations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he reminded God that this is the punishment you said you were going to bestow upon us if we did not keep your commandments. And you know, some people go, why are you reminding him of that? Let that go. Don't bring that up.
Right.
But then on the second verse, he says, but you said, if we return from our wicked ways and keep your practices and follow your commandments, then even your exiles, that the ones that have been banished forever, you said you would gather them from there and bring them to a place that you have chosen as a dwelling place.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, Nehemiah said, you told us this is what you would let happen, but you also said, and we turned around and repent, that you would put us back in right standing.
Yes.
And you would take us out of a place of exile and put us back to a place where we have safety, we have security, we have peace, we have your hand upon us again.
Yes.
Nehemiah was constantly praying. And I look at that and I go, wow. You know, I often tell Pastor Stephen, some things in the church burden me. And I get out there and I get to running and I want to do. And I'll get to places and they'll stop me. Like, what are you doing? This ain't your house. What are you doing? And then I got to remember, oh, okay, Lord, everybody ain't thinking like me. Because I thought that the word of God says, if you find things for your hands to do, do it. And I understand nothing we do ought to be found offensive.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go in someone's house, we ought to ask them, is it okay if I can see that y'all need, will you mind if I, and me, God knows. Pastor Stephen could tell you, I'll go in anybody's church. I don't care who church it is. I go in anybody's church, and don't let my eyes see something, because I'm getting ready to go over there and get it taken care of. And I'll go to the pastor or the armed bearer, because you know they don't let you get to the pastors anymore. So I go to the armed bearer and go, is it okay if I, you know, I'll get permission from one of the leaders in the house. And mm-hmm. they already know Kathy get restless when she come to y'all church, y'all. She looking around. She seeing what she can do. She want to mop the floor. She want to do all kind of stuff. I just have a burden for God's house. And it's funny because I'm talking about Nehemiah and the wall of Jerusalem coming down. And Pastor Stephen came home and he shared something with me about a place that I absolutely love. And he said, it's in ruins. And I'm looking at him and I'm going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now, God is trying to settle me down where we at. And my heart is leaping to that place because I'm going, what can we do? What can we do? How can we, you know, and it sounds crazy, but that's how I feel.
Mm.
Because I'm going, wow, how did that happen? No one saw what was going on. And when I say it was a beautiful edifice, it was a beautiful edifice. And all I can say is they better be glad that's the only part of the building that God allowed to go into ruin. Because if the rest of the building would have suffered from what was going on in that household, oh, my God, they wouldn't have been able to take it. But he allowed just enough to get the attention of the people to see, you know what? We have got to call for a revival. We have got to rebuild things in the house of God. We have got to get back to godly standards. We have got to make a stand. We can't let everything happen inside the house of God. This is his dwelling place. And so Nehemiah is sitting here praying and praying, and then he's like, Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, I need you to give me favor with this man. Who's the man? The king? Because
mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be sitting here taking care of the king, but I got to lead the king right now because I got to go see about the other king's house.
All right. Come on. Amen.
And the first king is way more important to me than the second king. He went in there. He had a sad face, and he know you don't go around no king with no sad face. You're going to get killed. He did not care. He was concerned with the first king's house. And when they asked him, God gave him favor. And he said, yeah, you can go. How long is it going to be? Because he didn't want him to go too long. He gave him a date. Okay, I'll be back, you know. But let me go and take care of what's happening in Jerusalem. Let me go. And not only that, give me favors that nobody stops me along the way so I can get through to get where I'm going.
Amen.
And even though he was ridiculed, he was laughed at, you know, they were trying to get him, keep him from trying to reveal the wall because they like having the Israelites in a vulnerable position where they can go in, treat them any old kind of way, do whatever they want. And so guess what? The world is doing the same thing to the church. You know why they talking about the church so freely now? They go up to a church member, they don't care who it is. It could be a pastor. And they're talking about the church. The church ain't doing this. What you see? You see the people in there doing this, doing that. I see more of them in the clubs than anywhere. They out there cussing. Oh, my Lord. Is that the reputation that the church has? Then that ought to tell us that the church is lying in ruins. And we need, everybody needs to come together on one accord. And guess what? Do not think it cannot be done. It can be done. Everybody can speak in the same accord. If we get on one accord and say, this church is about to have a revival. And all across the nation, all you see is everybody said, it's time for a revival. We've got to rebuild the house of God. And how do we do that? First of all, we start with, can't rebuild something if they don't think it's in ruins. You got to go and start asking God to rebuild their hearts so they can see the condition of the church. They can see that false prophecy is coming in here. False teachings is coming in here. People laughing at something that's meant to be beautiful. Beautiful. Come on now. When I tell you, we went to my sister-in-law's church, and it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. We had foot washing and all of that. And I'm telling you, I got lifted up. People were talking, but I was lifted up because I'm thinking, God is saying, this is what it's about. I'm training you guys to be servants for the Most High God, right? Mm-hmm. It was sacred.
Yes.
Sacred,
right.
The foot washing. It was sacred, the communion, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had this river flowing in there. Oh, my goodness. When I got home, I looked at my sister-in-law. She said, I hope I gave you everything you need. You know what I was thinking? I said, I am just so lifted up at that service. I was just blessed by God. I really was. And I know people look at me like I'm crazy, but it's okay. Because I have a burden to see God's house return to the condition it's supposed to be in. It's supposed to be sacred. I don't understand it. How do you laugh when you should be in tears at what's going on? And oh, I'm just so grateful that there are Nehemiahs all over the place. And now, God is saying, Kathy, don't you worry. I got you saying this, but I got a whole bunch of Nehemiahs They're getting ready to start rebuilding. And you're going to look around the nation and you're going to see churches saying, we have a revival here, we have a revival here, we have a revival. And people are going to start rebuilding. And guess what? The ones that don't, get out of our way. Because we got to get back to our Father's business. And
that's
the first
right.
thing we got to do is rebuild the mm-hmm. church house. They are trying to make a mockery out of our God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think people even realize it. You got so many hirelings out there right now. And they think that their pastors, the people are loving on them and everything. They're hirelings. You know what that is? Somebody that's there to get paid to do the job that God has put them there to do. Freely. It's not about you and about what you can get from the people. It's about you training up these people. We are supposed to be equipping the saints for the work of the Lord.
That's right.
And when I listen to some of the saints, and I'm telling you, I've been in, and Pastor Stephen, we've been in about 6-7 churches, and I'm looking at senior saints still sounding like babies, still operating as if this is the first time they ever been in a church. And I go into churches and I'm looking around and I'm going, wow, what is going on? What is going on? Who has slowed down the growth of the saints? Oh, my God. And so I understand why God is saying, I need to hear about Nehemiah. I want you to tell the people it is time to get a burden to rebuild the house of God. They have forgotten that this is the place that God lays down his skirt tail. You know, when we used to go into the sanctuaries, and before you could get through the door, you could feel the glory of the Lord. And you go, oh, my God, what's going on in there? And then you come in tiptoeing, being quiet, because you could feel that anointing in that service. You could feel the presence of God, and no one has to say, the presence of God is in this place. No one would have to say it. You could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And we
That's
have
right.
to get back to that. We have to. I'm so everywhere I go, I'm going to tell everybody I know, it's time for revival. It's time for revival. Why? Because I feel like Nehemiah. It is time for a revival. We have lowered the standards in God's house, but we on the outside of God's house building up other standards. Hello? What is
Hello.
Wrong with that? You got Yep. more standards for your job, the job Yep. that God gave you, than you do for God's house, for the
Yes.
people of God? Come Mm-hmm. on. That's not what God has purposed us to do.
Nope.
We have got to show the world. You know what? The church is supposed to be like it's on a hill, sitting there. It's a lighthouse, right? But the
right.
light has gone dim.
Yeah.
And so you don't see, because the light has grown dim, you don't see all the dust running in there. But when they put on that 100-volt bulb, you know, the bulb that's so bright you can see everything, you will see all the dust bunnies in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the church has gotten to a place that's stale. It's just a ritual. Oh, yeah, we got to go to church. We got to go to church. It's so much more than that. There's so much excitement in the house of God, but you cannot see it because the light has grown dim. And
yep.
no one wants to turn the light back up because you can see everything that's wrong. And the sad part is, if Jesus said, I am the light, right? He's the light of the world. So if it looked kind of dim in your household of faith, that means you got to ask yourself, well, if he was in here, it wouldn't be this dim. So we need to go to the altar. Forget about preaching and teaching and all that. How about we go lay out before the Lord so he can give us guidance and direction how to get this house back into the manner in which he wants to dwell in this place.
Amen.
You know, I used to be embarrassed and I used to be scared just to say some of the things that God wants. I'm not embarrassed anymore, and I'm not ashamed. You know what? I'm looking at all kind of stuff. I'm looking at homemongers in there. I'm looking at liars. I'm looking at thieves. I'm looking at everything in there. And I'm going, okay, but the leaders ought to be so, and I can't even finish the sentence because I want to say the leaders ought to be setting an example. But if the leaders are doing what the people are doing, come on now. You don't even know who the leaders are.
Okay.
You don't know who the leaders are. I tell you, you know what? We've got to have a revival. And everybody that has a church, the first thing they ought to do is say, we need those intercessors to come in here. All of the leaders, y'all going to come in here. We're going to start praying in the house of God and get rid of the old and make room for the new. Because God is ready for us to rebuild the sanctuary, the house of God, the world see. God is still on the throne. His people still have standards. Wow. I just bless God because Nehemiah took the blame with the rest of it. He said, I've been sending
yes.
to you got to forgive all of us, and we're going to make a turnaround. And then he says, and God, please give ear to hear what we're saying. Give us mercy. Give
yes.
us success.
Mm-hmm.
That we can go in here, I can get the kingdom, let me go over here and start building the wall.
Yes.
Building the wall of a place he'd never been in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love this because it encourages me because God looks at me and goes, Kathy, I don't care if you go into a house and you trying to help them make the church look good, get it back to where it looks like it's the house of God and give reverence to God. Because I go in anybody's house and guess what he's saying? Nehemiah had never been to Jerusalem, right? And he said,
right.
So Kathy, stop getting so scared every time you go into a different church and you want to say, hey, you think we can clean out the sanctuary? You think we can get all this trash off the floor? You think we can stop the people from eating in the sanctuary? God is saying, Nehemiah hadn't been there, and you're going to a lot of places, Kathy, that you've never been. Don't let that stop you from getting in there with those leaders and trying to get them to rebuild. To start cleaning house for God. You know why God can't send in no new people? Oh, God. Because the old people have become complacent. There's a staleness in the house of God. And that's what revival does. Revival comes in there, gets everybody excited, stir back up. Let's get back in love with coming to church. It is not just, oh, I got to go to church today. Oh, yeah, I'll be there from 11 to 1. I'll be out at 1. Or some of them go there at 12. I don't know what time they go. We ought to be excited to go in the house of God.
That's right.
Not just one person. Everybody ought to look around and go, trash doing on the floor. Don't even say nothing. Just pick it up and keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's God's house. And everybody has to have the same mindset. I want to see this be the place that God wants to do it. In fact, when you open up the doors, I want them to feel God's glory residing in here. Nehemiah went there to build the wall in Jerusalem to create safety, security, to get the people's mindset back on God. Because it said the people's hearts, they had grown dim. They didn't want nothing to do with God. They were discouraged. And the same thing is happening now. Believe it or not, the people are discouraged. And when you start hearing that the people in the church are killing themselves like the people in the world, don't tell me they're not discouraged, depressed, stressed out. And that's why it's time for a revival. All of us need to have a burden to rebuild. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you guys. Back to you, Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. We want to thank Pastor Kathy for that wonderful word this evening, burden to rebuild. And with, I think that deserves a hand clap praise. Amen. Before we have Pastor Kathy give us the call to salvation and the benediction, we'd like to ask our guest online to give a brief response on how they enjoyed the word this evening. And we're going to start off with Erica 404-432. God bless you. How are you this evening? And do you have a response on the word this evening? Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. All I could think about is new beginnings. You know, many of us are looking to God for direction for the new year.
Thank you,
every
God.
Year. I know every December I'm listening, to know. And it just really resonated in my spirit because this is an opportunity to really trust God, to see him do what only he can do. And his power, which is greater than anything, any formula we can come up with, it's greater than anything the government can create. It's greater than anything. And so
Amen.
When we can trust God in the midst of chaos, when we can trust God in the midst of things that we thought were going to look one way, but they look another, if we can trust and believe, if we can trust and believe, he's got a great plan. He's got a great plan. But in the new beginnings, it's a great opportunity to see God do amazing things. So that it really just resonated with my spirit. We can probably go to just about any church on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day and hear a pastor, a minister, refer to the Isaiah 43:19, but I know as you hear me clearly, I woke one morning and that's what God spoke. And so I just want to encourage us to look
Thank
for new
God.
Beginnings, even in the midst of
Thank
what
you, God.
Doesn't make sense. What even in the midst, I learned a long time ago, what may look like a failure, what may look like God's not paying attention, that's to the world. But for those of us with spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, who
that's
have
right.
our heart for God, ooh, what the world may call a failure is really a setup from God.
Thank you, God.
A setup from God. So sometimes things are torn down, some things go away, whatever. But in the midst of that, God's got a plan.
Amen.
He's got a plan.
Amen.
And always
yes,
turn our hearts back to him. Because y'all know how we are. Sometimes we really think our ideas are better than God's. Sometimes
Thank
we really
God.
Think our thoughts are greater than any strategy he has or any blessing he desires to pour out. So, amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
God bless you.
It we do have to get back to God because we're putting everything in front of him, and those things become our God. And God is doing things to show us that we need to get back to our first love, which is him. And let all this other stuff go, because it's just temporary, it's materialistic things, and heaven is forever, and everybody wants to go to heaven. I'm sure most people want to go to heaven. So to get there, you have to give your life and your soul, your heart, your mind, everything, and believe in his son, Jesus Christ. So Nehemiah, even though he did not, that he never been to Jerusalem, God put it in his spirit for him to pray for Jerusalem, because the remnant that was there, to get them back. Some went back and some stayed because the ones that stayed had built up beautiful, luxurious homes and everything, and they did not want to go back to where they came from. So, Pastor Kathy, thank you for that wonderful word this evening. And now we're going to have the salvation and the benediction. Amen.
Is that
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Kathy.
Is that Pastor Carol, Reverend Carol?
It is. It is.
Oh, God bless
yes,
you. You know what? We got a treat tonight. We're going to have Reverend Carol take us out in prayer. Is that okay with you, Reverend?
Mm.
Yes, yes. Do it,
Ready
girl. Do
it. Ready in season and out of season. Ready
yes,
in season and out of season. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Father, first, we just want to come to say thank you.
Thank you.
Father, we want to take time to say thank you. Father, we want to take time to bless you, to praise you, to lift your name on high because you are the great I am. You are Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. And God, no matter what else they come up with, they can go through the whole Greek alphabet, Father God. You're still in charge. You're still in control, Father. And we want to say thank you. Thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. Oh, Father God. We thank you for your word, for it never changes, Father God. Your word is the truth. And I pray, Father God, that those of us who heard, that we would not fix our eyes on the facts and allow the facts in this life to just motivate us and encourage us, Father God, to go to your truth, which is your word. We thank you, Father God, for your servant. We thank you, Father God, for Pastor Kathy. We thank you, Father God, and ask that you would just bless her, that you would renew her and refresh her, Father
thank
God.
You. Yes, Lord.
We pray, Lord, that as we, Father God, turn off the phones and or the laptops, and Father God, as this time together has ended, that we will allow that word, Father God, to rest.
Yes,
may
Lord
we
God.
Eat on it, chew on it, digest it. So, Father, when the time comes and you're calling us to build again, you're calling
yes,
us
God.
To new beginnings,
yes, oh,
that word would resonate and regurgitate, Father God, from our spirit, that we'll be able to be exactly who you've called us to be. So we thank you tonight. I'm asking, God, for each one on this line, that you will pour out your wisdom. You said if we lack it, all
yes,
we have
oh
to do
God.
Is ask, and you would give it generously. And we cannot continue in this season, in this time, in the United States or this world, Father God,
yes,
without
God.
Your wisdom. Without your wisdom. We need to know when,
oh,
how, when to sit up, when to sit down, when to speak up, when to shut up, God. We need
yes,
your
oh God.
Holy Spirit.
Oh, God, we
so
need
we just
you
want to
today.
Thank you tonight to take for taking time to speak to your children. Oh, God, I just want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, hallelujah,
thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
you're
God.
You're on time, God, and I thank
hallelujah.
You, Father, for that word, hallelujah. Always on time. You never
thank
show
you,
up
God.
Late. You never fail to show up. Father, we just thank you tonight, and I pray,
you,
Lord, that whatever resonated in our spirit, whatever made our spirits leap, that we would take that word and not keep it to ourselves, that
yes,
we will
okay.
share it. We will
please.
Share it.
Yes,
God,
yes.
And may in this season, God, we have that same spirit, Father God, that took place, God, that existed, Father God, in the early church. I pray that we will be zealous for you and zealous for your word, and that we
yes,
will not
Lord.
Lose, Father God, our spiritual fervor. Thank you, Lord. It's in your
thank
Son
you,
Jesus God. Christ's name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. And I pray sweet sleep and sweet dreams to your
God
people
bless
tonight.
You. Thank
rest
you, God.
Well.
Amen.
Yes. God bless you, Reverend Carol. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. Yes, Lord. We haven't heard it in a while. so much going on. Mm-hmm. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Back to you, Evangelist Hilda.
And that concludes our service for tonight. God bless you all, and have a wonderful evening. Until we meet again tomorrow at 6 p.m. and at 7 p.m.
The Lord keep you.
Lord be with you.
Amen. Yes, may the Lord keep you and bless you as well. Amen.
Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.